I want to take you with me on a little bit of a journey, not a very long one, but a very short little journey into James. Because I was wanting you to have a caution light about weaknesses that are in us. No, I should say maybe in me, because maybe you don't have one, but I've had a few contentions with myself on this subject over the years. And I was pressed to use the Amplified, James chapter 4. And I don't know how sometimes we were able to make any kind of heads or tails out of James, because we usually go into a guilt trip when we were looking at James. At least that was for me. But I want to concentrate on verse 6. He gives us more and more grace. The Amplified says, power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. Again, but he gives us more and more grace. In parentheses, power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That is why he says, God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly. He gives grace continually to the lowly. Those who are humble-minded, and I stress the word minded, meaning mental. Doesn't mean you're crazy. It just says that your mindset says there's enough humility in me to perceive that I can run back to God whenever I've gotten disappointed with him. How many have ever gotten disappointed with God? Shouting matches at God, angry, swearing, and I've done it. And I remember one time, the Lord says, you finally emptied yourself out. Now I can fill you up. So, I sometimes acted like St. Peter, you know, frustrated to the max, couldn't figure out God, very angry. And he was trying to let me know that I wouldn't get over it until I emptied out. And you know what? He didn't fall off the throne. He did not fall off the throne. But he gave me more and more grace. Power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency. What is the evil tendency? I'm expected God to do for me. Let his word that says, you know, oh, he'll meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. Well, I held on to that promise, and guess what? Everything was falling apart. And I didn't realize the test was in an on process. You see, the test sometimes goes on a little deeper and further than I wanted it to. My disappointments were unbelievable. And God was saying to me, don't start judging because it's falling back on you. But I couldn't understand. My frustration was real. Verse 1 says, what leads to strife, discords, and feuds? And how do conflicts, quarrels, and fighting originate among you? Now, this is in the church. It's not just in the house. Even though in the house it can happen, and in the church it can happen. Why would it happen in the church? Because people are running after God. People are looking for God. People are trying to get problems solved. And therefore, who is there to break it up but the enemy? And he says, conflicts, quarrels, and fighting originate among you. Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members. You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. So you become murderers. To hate is to murder as far as in your heart is concerned. You burn with envy and are concerned. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification and contentment and the happiness that you seek. Is there anything wrong with seeking happiness? No. So you fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. Well, I couldn't ask because my frustration was too high. I was full of the frustration. Or, verse 3, you do ask God for them, and yet you fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it on sensual pleasures. You are like unfaithful wives having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vows to God. Oh, ho. Did you know that God is jealous? He wants you all to himself. The next part says, do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as an enemy of God. Is there anything wrong with loving the world? If it's the wrong kind of love. Jesus came because his Father loves the world so much that he sent his Son to turn the world around. Now, why would he want to turn the world around? Because the world is a selfish place. It's a backbiting type of place. I heard a prophetic word the other day that fit it just right for me. It's called political Baal worship. And I thought, wow, now that's a word that fits the situation. And it happened to come out of Tim Clement's mouth when he was in Israel. And I remember Gail and I being on that mountain. And I can remember seeing that huge, big statue of Elijah. And there's a huge granite statue of Elijah. It must be, I don't know, 25 feet high. And, of course, he's got his foot on one of the prophets of Baal. And he's got his spear into him. And the priests and the prophets of Baal were dealt with on that mountain. And, of course, I'm a little partial because of what God did there. He kind of broke me down and decided to patch me up again. But I didn't feel any of the patches for quite a while. All I felt was the breaking. So, do you suppose, verse 5, that the scripture is speaking to no purpose that says, the spirit he caused to dwell in us yearns over us, and he yearns for the spirit to be welcomed with a jealous love. Now, what is he saying? He's saying that there is a spirit in us that causes us to dwell and yearns for the things that sometimes are not of God. And it's allowed by God. And I mean, you know, has anybody got an NIV close by? Read the NIV, verse 5. Envies intensely. In other words, there's a hunger to have something that we don't possess. And God has allowed it to be in us. Now, he has a purpose for it, but we have to wait for him to adjust it. And he says he gives us more and more grace, power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all other evil tendencies fully That is why God says he sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly. Those who are humble-minded enough to perceive it. Verse 7, so be subject to God, stand firm against the devil, resist him, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Now, does that mean literal, physical, dirt? No. It's talking about spiritual things. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interests. Purify your hearts of your spiritual adultery. In other words, you can't have all the things of the world to satisfy your own lust and still be a friend to God. Because you're going to be double-minded. But if you really are hungering for them, some of these things in the world, you need to ask the Lord for grace. And if you don't ask him for that grace, you're going to suffer a lot longer for nothing. And you're going to stay disappointed with people as well as with God. And while you're being disappointed, you're walking around in deception and thinking that everybody else owes you something. Yes or no? They should know how much I'm suffering, so therefore they should do. Blah, 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 fill the blanks in, okay? Can you relate? Who causes that to be in us? God says, I've caused it, and I want you to run to me for grace. And I'll be honest with you, I was sick and tired of asking him for grace. So I got angry. I wanted him to change everyone but me. Yeah, I really did. I wanted him to change everybody but me. And God was really on my case, knocking on my door, saying, are you going to pull it down? Are you going to get rid of this anger? And you know what? I didn't even want to admit that I had it. I didn't. But you know what? He was kind enough to not let me go. He held on to me. And he kept squeezing a little tighter and a little tighter and a little tighter until I really yelled. And you know something? In my case, he was using the ones I love the most to squeeze me hardest. What am I saying to you? It's not somebody that you can't stand that's going to be used by God to identify your anger and your lusts. It's going to be somebody that you love. It's going to be somebody that you expect that they should know better or do better. And they can't. And God is letting you know, develop your priesthood. Start interceding for them, even if you don't feel like it. Scripture says, pray for your enemies. I didn't want to pray for my enemies. I wanted to have them. You know, I had a solution. I had a solution because I knew about how, you know, you could just flush something down when it got too heavy. And that's really what I wanted to do. Flush them away. And God wouldn't let me. So he said to me, be subject to God, stand firm against the devil, resist him, and he will flee from you. I didn't realize the devil was around me. I didn't realize the devil was actually putting those thoughts in my head. I didn't realize that my mind was being plagued by bad thoughts. And that's when he began to teach me through Corinthians. And he said, pull down every thought. Chapter 10. Pull down every thought. Make it obedient to Christ. Well, I didn't want to do that. It was too much work. I didn't really want to come close to God either because he was hurting me too much. After all, I did this for you, God. I did that for you, God. And I had a wonderful, wonderful list of the things I did. And they were not lies. They were my perception of the truth. And he reminded me, verse 9, as you draw near to God, be deeply penitent and grieve, even weep over your disloyalty. I didn't think I was disloyal at all. Let your laughter be turned to grief and your mirth to dejection and heartfelt shame for your sins. I didn't see the sin. I didn't see the sin of the anger. Verse 10, humble yourself, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up and make you live your lives, make your lives significant. Brethren, do not speak evil about or accuse one another. He that maligns a brother or judges his brother is maligning and criticizing the law and judging the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a practicer of the law, but a censor and a judge of it. One only is the lawgiver and judge, the one who has the absolute power of life and death, who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you that presume to pass judgment on your neighbor? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and spend a year there and carry out our business and make money. Then I can have what I want. Yet you do not know the least thing about what you may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappears into thin air. You ought instead to say, if the Lord is willing, we shall live and we shall do this or that thing. But as it is, you boast falsely in your presumption of your self-conceit. All such boasting is wrong. So any person who knows what he's right to do, but doesn't do it, to him, it is a sin. When you know inside your heart that you should be doing something, when you have the inner part of your inner man pressing you to do, and you refuse, you sin. Who are you sinning against? Whoever it is that's not receiving, plus against God's Holy Spirit, who's trying to prompt you to do something right. And you may not feel like it, but you can go back to that verse that says, but God gives us more and more what? Grace. What is grace? Grace is something that happens to us when we ask him to provide energy when we don't have it on our own. Provide energy to forgive. Provide energy to get over your anger. Provide energy by God to overwhelm whatever situation you're in. Yesterday afternoon, I was asked to speak over a young lady that slept at my house many times, and she was 19 years old. She went for a ride with her friend. They hit a telephone pole, and she was killed by electrical current coming off the pole through a defective part of some type. These parents, her younger brother, her older sister will become my daughter-in-law at some point by next summer. Devastated people. Overwhelmed by grief. Sometimes overwhelmed by anger. And I can relate. I wouldn't want to put my 19-year-old little girl in the ground. You see, when death happens, it happens and it hurts. And we need to really ask God for more and more grace. More favor from him to be able to deal with it. When we get broken and rejected and sometimes wounded by people that we love, we need to ask God to give them grace as well as ourselves. Because without them receiving, they're not going to be able to be changed, because God's waiting on you. Close your eyes. Lord Jesus, I'm asking for these and the ones that are listening to this message, that they will have the courage to ask you for grace, to ask you for what they need to be able to become the men and women of God, the young men and women that will change this nation and change this region. Lord Jesus, the young men and women that will be able to affect our world and our nation, so that it will be coming back to its roots of a harmony with God, and to be able to work with God, along with His Holy Spirit, until this earth is filled with love. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. I ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, and amen.